Mr. So Guan Bi, Real One. Mr. So, can we begin by having you tell us something about your personal background?
I was schooling in 1940, then up to 41 at the Rang Road School. During that time, I was promoted to Victoria Street, Victoria School. So the war broke out during December. Then I was let out, and we were waiting for the papers to let us know where to go to school. But in the papers appeared that you can go back to school and inquire your further studies. Then I went back to Rang Road School again and set another 1 year or so, is it, for a Japanese school, Japanese language. Then after that, I was asked to go to work because there's nothing else to do. Then after that, I went back again to school again. I did not want to go back to work, but I went to school again at Queen Street Japanese School. There I learned another 1 year. After that, I was working with the Japanese Army workshop in Serangoon Road, just next to the Serangoon Post Office. Now was demolished, and after 3 or 6 months, I found not very good. Then I went to Alginate Road, another air base workshop, specialized in repairing aeroplane engines. And I was there to supply to those laborers their rations, such as rice, sugar, soybeans, and their pay is very little. And we are given 3 meals a day, morning, afternoon and evening, plus another ration of rice, sugar and soybeans. After some time, I found not very good also, the pay is not so good, so I went to Orchard Road, that is Naval Base, under Naval Base, under the Naval Base workshop, motor workshop. There, I got better working condition as well as more ration and working condition better and better pay also. I was working as a timekeeper there, in charge of those fitters, electricians, and pay, you see, according to their pay and all this, and to jot down the time what they are doing during the day and the job sheet and report to the Japanese in charge. There are 3 Japanese officers there, and they are very good. And we are given 16 caddies of rice per month, and every week we got tapioca, about 25 caddies, or another week we may get sweet potatoes, and not 25 caddies, or some others such as these other things such as bananas, you see, pineapples, which they usually get it from Labis, Johor. And up to the end of the war, there I was there till the end of the war. And after the war, I went back to the office and they say, you can go ahead and take all your belongings, nothing left. Anything what you want, yours, you better take it back. Then I brought back all my papers, especially my armband, 5646, and another card, which is which they say you don't need it anymore. You can bring it back home. That's all.
How old were you at the time of the outbreak of war in 1941?
That was about 19. I was born 1928. So by the time that one is about 13, 14, 15, 13, I started to school, 14, 15, that's the time, up to 16, I think.
Just when the war started, where were you staying?
I'm staying at the the Tessinson Road. You know where is, they call it Rumah Miskin? That is off Balestier Road. At present now, they call it Khalsa Jiwan, Khalsa Club. Khalsa Club. Opposite of Khalsa Club. There's one around the road, side road off Balestier Road. Next to West Coast Road.
So you had just about finished your standard 7 when?
Yeah, no, 5th, then I went back again, 6, 7. They call it, the Japanese, they call it that way, is it? But actually, I passed my 5th, and after that, gradually I went back to school, and they gave promoted, automatically give 6, and after the 7th, that is all. They consider 7 and no more.
But just when the war broke out, mm-hmm. You had just finished standard 5.
Yeah, just 5, and then went back to go, wanted to go to Victoria Street, but this, you know, war broke out, so we went back to this Rang Road to inquire, and they say you can just carry on study. Carry on with your studies from here on.
That was when? That was
after the war.
When the Japanese,
came in, then we go there for a few months, and then after that, it's no use, you see. We go back. Actually, they just only teach you a few Japanese, you know, katakana, and then a few words which you know to talk. I learned quite a lot too. Actually, I can talk to them, frankly, I can talk to them, but at present now I lost touch of it, the language. I can hear what they say, but I can't, you know, talk out straight away.
Just before the war broke out in Singapore, there was some kind of anti-Japanese movement.
Oh, yes.
Did you know about that?
Yes, yes. In my kampung, they call it the Tessinson Road area. Opposite my place, there are three of them got arrested. Three of them are Eurasian, you see, and they are caught and brought it to Tempe Thai. And then after some time they tortured them. I understand that they put two pencil, no? Because the torture is so great that they hear through illegal broadcasting radio, you know, receiving from overseas and all this, out. And then they caught them during the raid. So they brought it down to Tempe Thai. And what they did is to get two pencil, you know, around their ear, and they just poke it in. And it's dead. One more, I understand that they pour water, let them take water treatment until he's dead also. There are three of them.
How did you get news of this incident?
Well, I was down there, I know. They captured them and they brought them out. And they have, then when they are dead, they send their bodies back. We are down there, I was about 14, 15 years old at that time.
When did that incident happen?
During that time, it's 1943-44, I think. I think I can't remember, but 43-44, coming to the end of the war. 44, I think.
What about just before the war? Did you know of any anti-Japanese activities like going on?
No. These people, they are more or less trying to get more information out of the Singapore broadcasting, is it? the Japanese broadcast from Singapore, they want to get news from overseas, you see. So they try to tune it, and they get caught there, and they found out the set, they confiscated the set on. They are Eurasians. There are three of them are Eurasians.
That was during the war.
During the war, then they arrested them.
What about before the Japanese came in?
Before the Japanese came in, we don't know about it. Then down there, we know that they are all very peaceful people. Very peaceful.
Before war broke out, were there any kind of civil defense preparations that the British government made?
At that time, no. At that time, we were down there. All the soldiers were all there already. All the soldiers, when the British were stationed all there, there in front there is a big space of land, you know, they call it a field. Opposite there's a YMCA field, the Indian Association field, and the JCSA club. And the other one is the Clerical Union club. There's all the fields connected there, you know, Balestier Road, you know, the side. They're all full, all of field. But all of them, the soldiers, all are stationed there. All the soldiers, the Australian soldiers, the Indian soldiers, they are all there. And they keep their food stuffs, all the rations, all, you know, at the school. The other school, the McNair Road School, you know. All of them, they kept all the food stuff there. The tin foods, cases by cases. After the war, they came, looted the whole lot. All the looters came in and then come by lorries and collected all.
Why did these soldiers assemble in the field?
Because this is the only place that you see you got a chance to spread around there. And easy, you see a clubhouse, there's a club, there's so many clubs there, easy to live there around, and then convenient for them. They get water, you know, sanitary, they used to, you know. And there's on the right hand side, there's McNair Road School. They got a school there, they can, you know, make use of the facilities there. Yeah?
What was the
JCSA, Junior Civil Service Services Club. JCSA, Junior Civil Services Club. Civil Service as an Association, I think.
Do you know any civil defense preparations like Medical Auxiliary Service or Arid Precautions?
Every precaution, yes, we were told to, you know, to be careful. When comes the siren, we have to practice, they tell us to get, you know, to the nearest train or lie down flat and keep your fingers, you know, cover up your ear, try to avoid, never walk on the main road, always lie down and near the you know, the train there, the best for you to keep away from anything.
What about air raid shelters? Did you prepare any air raid
shelters? Yeah, everyone, every house of them, they have a certain small air raid shelter, like, you see, on the side, they put the sandbags, and then on the sideways, they put, you know, the wood, which they fixed up nicely, less like a small hut, and on top, all sandbags, down below, all sandbags, and there are benches, all, you see that. If any air raid, you go inside there.
Who taught you how to, you know, make such?
No, the during the air raid, during that time, the air raid, you know, IRP, they call it ARP, air raid precaution, or they call it the officers. They come down and tell us, you see, you have to prepare all this beforehand. So the carpenters will come over and, you know, they will fix up and charge you quite a substantial amount, you know, during that time.
So did your house have one?
Yeah, every house they have one. Every house they make one. So make sure that everything is in order. Eh?
At that time, did you all think that Japan would declare war on Singapore?
At that time we are still very young. We don't know what, when we know what you're going to see, what is the next picture to come to the theatre. That's only way. But that time, you know, you like to see pictures such as, you know, New World there, very nearby. Mm-hmm. So that is what we know, is it? We didn't know what is going on actually.
What kind of pictures were going on during that time?
No, I got no idea. During that time is, you know, a lot of cowboy pictures are usually, you know, we go and see cowboy pictures.
Did you know of the first air raid on Singapore
The first air raid, we don't know. But the next day, only we found out that they got bombed somewhere else, and then the time comes, we found out that we are in trouble. So everything is a mess. So we must be prepared, you see. That time I was still very young.
Was your area affected by the
bombings? No, not so.
How did your family and yourself feel about the bombings?
The bombing comes in when the time we heard quite a lot of people, you know, lost their homes and all this. So we must be very careful. Only thing, the Japanese shell during that time, shell, you know, they're shelling up towards us, you know. My neighbor, that's at the end of the house, we're in the center, my house in the center. My neighbor was totally wrecked. The whole shell, you know, dropped on top of it and exploded, and the whole house all demolished. But anyhow, there's nobody there, you see. They are all evacuated and they have gone somewhere else. We are only down below. Luckily, we are down below. We are at the shelter there.
How? Only in your neighbor's house was bombed. The others, nothing. So how frequent were these bombings and shellings?
Shellings? Oh, before the fall, I think we've been there for nearly 1 week or 10 days, been shelling all the time, non-stop coming, because they know the Australian soldiers, the Gurkhas, I mean not the Gurkhas, the Indian soldiers there, all the soldiers around there, so they keep on shelling.
So what did these soldiers that you said exactly?
They are all, you know, prepared to fight to them. You know. So anyhow, we just wait and see. We cannot come out because they told us not to come out. The soldiers say at nightfall you better don't come out. It's very dangerous. We shoot at sight.
Were there any actual fighting going on between the Japanese and the soldiers at
the field? No, very little. Because they already surrendered somewhere else and they come down. Or they don't give up.
During this, all the shelling and...
And during about another 10 days before the surrender, the aeroplanes fly very low. The Japanese plane fly very low and just keep on, you know, machine gunning down.
Were there many casualties in the
airplane? No.
Place?
We were always, you know, at the side of tree trunk or inside, you see, looking at it, you see. That time we are very, you know, we want to see what's going on. But actually, you see the planes very low, small plane very low, and keep on machine gunning. And the Indian soldiers are very good also. They keep on firing back.
Did you know whether your family make any kind of preparations, like, you know, storing up food?
Oh yes, we got, you know, we got sardines, sardines, and you know, during that time we only got sardines, and you know, such as butter, milk, and practically it's sardines and nothing else. During that time we only got sardines all the way. Till today I did not eat sardines. I see sardines, I get sad. Really? Every moment, every meal there's sardine. Every meal there's sardine. And so we keep on going for nearly 30 days. Then you have to take it as we arise. We stock up quite a lot of rice. During that time, we stock up a lot of rice.
No marketing being done?
No, nothing. Nothing. And the place, very dirty. A lot, dead bodies around. And there's only one captain, Australian captain, was shot dead there. And was buried there. And recently they just dig it out, took the body out. That's about after 20 or 30 years later, they dug up the body and sent it out to the war burial. You know, this Kranji there. War memorial.
Did your father, or your family think of evacuating from the place?
No, we got no chance because our family is so big, you see. I tell you frankly, I got how many brothers? I got six brothers and six sisters. So 12 of us, including my father and mother, is 14. I got a cousin brother, one more, that's 15. And my sister-in-law, I got two sister-in-law at that time. How can we go? We must all gather together. no chance to go away anywhere. We have to stay back.
All of you will stay in one house?
All of one house, a five-room flat, five-room house, terrace house.
At the time of fighting, when the fighting was going on, the shelling and bombing and all that, what was the conditions in your area and in Singapore like? I mean, were there any...
There's no police, there's nothing. There's like no banned land. You can do anything what you want. You feel like taking anything, you take. It's all yours.
So were there a lot of looting going on?
Yes. During that time, a lot of looting getting on. You see, when they heard that the British surrendered, then the looters are out in force. They went just got cases of corned beef. I should tell you that I don't take corned beef. That's when I see they take corned beef butter, I use to see them carry. You see, carry cases and cases of butter, corned beef, sausages, you know, stew meat and all this. Fantastic. They can really last for years, you know, actually. One big, you know, the school full up of these provisions stored by the British Army.
Where did they store this?
They store in the school there, McNair Road School. And like, you know, McNair Road School, and there's another polo ground. Formerly, they call it the Singapore Polo Ground. Just next to it. Now, at present, I don't know what school is that. But I think it's McNair Road School 1 or 2, I don't know. Just the main one now.
So the looters went in there
to take and what he likes at all. And after that, they go to Rochor Road, you know, to sell in the black market.
Who were these looters with? Who were these looters?
Usually those people, you see that they are young, elder, I mean older than us. And you know that field, actually that field opposite, that field which I told you, that is a... that field opposite us, my house opposite, there's one row of attap houses, now demolished, you see. And then they have a field, you see. That field, they make in such a way, they store, you know what, cotton, you know, bales and bales of cotton, you know. And then, you know, cotton flower for ladies, you know, for ladies' dress and all this. And they erected a factory, call it a paper factory. So, before the Japanese want to surrender, the Japanese are very smart. They sell off all the cotton, you know, bales by bales, you know, of cotton piece of goods. Like, anybody wants to buy? $2,000 per roll, per bale of cotton, you know. Cotton, you know, these are ladies, like, what we call dress, like, for ladies' dress. Floral type and all, you know, and they've been selling $2,000 per roll, per bale.
During the
before the surrender, the Japanese are very smart. They stock a lot there, you know, so they keep on selling on.
Before and, the Japanese surrender.
Before they know they're going to surrender, they say 2 or 3 days or before the surrender, they take out all bales and bales of this, not cotton, bales or yeah. Then they start selling piece by piece. They sell. And they will be lining up, everyone be lining up and pay out $2,000, collect out. And then with that $2,000 Japanese currency, you know very well, after the war is no value. You take that piece of one bale, you know how much is there? Nearly about $200, $100 to $200 per piece, per bale. Those people got money, they buy up, they make money.
But at the time when the fighting was still going on, the looting was also going on, right?
Mm-hmm.
What you mentioned that they sell these goods at Rochor Canal.
Rochor Road. They used to sell. I noticed it because all the goods would go there and sell in the black market. That is, after the British surrendered, they came and loot quite a lot, and they brought it out and sell.
The looting only happened after British surrender.
Ah yes.
Not that during the period.
No, because the British surrendered, handed their arms back, then they go in and collect. You know, they get shot dead.
Were these looters from the neighborhood or?
I got no idea. We never see them before. We never see them before. We've been neighbors, we know. Ni arrive from somewhere else, I don't know. Never see them before.
What about their background? Were they all Chinese or were
they? No, mixed. All types. They take the opportunity, I think. They are older than us. I think should be older. Definitely older than us.
Besides looting, were there a lot of people trying to evacuate out of the area?
No. They all stay back. All our people there, you see, not very rich people there, you see. They all stay back. And then they wait what to do, you see. What to do for the coming.
At your place, did you see the Japanese soldiers advancing?
No. The Japanese soldiers, we don't even see them until after the British surrender. Then the British soldiers, the Japanese soldiers come from house to house and knock. And see anybody inside. So at that time, we must keep quiet, pretend not to know, not to mention anything. And that one evening, one Japanese soldier knocked the door and he asked for a drink, brandy. So my brother gave him. Before he opened the door first, he got two slaps from the Japanese soldier, my elder brother. So he got two slaps from the Japanese soldier. So he asked him what he want. He said he wants drink. So my brother went in and took a bottle of brandy, whiskey, and gave it to him. He took it and he go off. Luckily, that brandy saves him. Or whiskey, just Johnny Walker, I think. Gave it to him and he took away.
So did you witness any fighting?
No, nothing. But when down there, we are in the central side, you see. Very near to the town. Right? The most fighting is come from Jurong and Mandai area. You
know. So how did you all know about the British surrender?
Oh, through the radio. We tune out the radio. So they say, well, the British have surrendered, the Japanese have marched in. So we know, you see.
Who make the announcement?
Through the radio, usually the news, you see. Through the radio news.
When was that you heard the news?
That is, you know, usually we tune the radio and we hear what they say. Eh? We hear what they say, then we know that's already the fall of Singapore.
Can you remember when was that?
No, I can't remember it. Really.
So what were your reactions and your family's reactions when they heard this?
Well, what to do? We have to face it. We have to face it, what is going to come to us. So gradually we learn that we have to work. Even at a boy of 7, 8, 10 years old, 11, 12 years old, he had to go to work because of the rice, the ration. Yes, the ration is very important. Other than that, nothing. And if you intend to buy any cigarettes, you have to line up early morning, 6:30 in the morning or 6 o'clock in the morning, and wait at the store there. And the people only, they sell only one day once and 1 hour, 6 to 7, and then finish, no more. No more cigarettes. And you buy that and you sell in black market. When you buy at cost, at market value, say usually they give 20 sticks, 2 packets of cigarettes, 10 of each. So you can sell it in the black market. If you buy at $5 and you sell at $15, so you make $10 profit. But $10 profit is $5 a cup of coffee, opio, $5. And you get 2 cups of opio for 1 hour line up there. That is early morning. By the time you go to work, it's about 8 o'clock. 7:30, I think, you reach there.
What was the general atmosphere in Singapore like just at the time of British surrender?
No, everyone is the same normal. Only thing, they are scared, you see? Scared, don't know what to do. That is what we always think that way. You know, they don't know what they're going to do later. And they will say, they announce to the radio that you have to go to the certain place like Victoria Street and Victoria School. You go there and line up and get your pass. That's all. Make sure that you get your pass and you can travel easily through the papers as well as news, radio news. Say everyone has to get the pass. And they chop it either your shirt or your body, shirt or singlet. You chop it and you say, you can go on.